Welcome to episode number 34. Great day, amazing humans. Yes, welcome to the Own Your Thrive podcast and Empowered in My Skin production. My name is Nkechi Nwafor Robinson, and I am founder and CEO of Empowered in My Skin, an experienced technology executive at one of Canada's largest financial institutions, an author, an International Federation of Bodybuilding pro athlete, an inspirational speaker, and most recently, a viral sensation after my You Matter speech hit over 3 million views worldwide. This show is all about thriving, and I will be bringing on some amazing humans that own their thrive to help you figure out how you too can own yours. So please leave a review on whatever medium you are listening to this on, and make sure to join along on the web at empoweredinmyskin.com so you can be notified when new episodes are available. For now, I'm your girl. Let the show begin. Yes, great day, amazing humans. Oh, this next guest, I feel actually really honored to interview her. Her passion is irresistible and lights me up. I've known her for a little bit of time, but I've gotten to know her a little bit better in the last year or so. But she truly is a connector of humans. And that's how I actually got to meet her, is just through a mutual connection. She's the founder of How She Hustles. She is an award-winning human. And I do encourage you, please go and Google her, because she has won deservingly a number of awards. And so right now, though, put your ears together for the amazing, the incomparable Emily Mills.
Man, I need to hire you for like every event I do. I'm like, hype woman extraordinaire, bum, bum, bum.
Oh, Emily, I was actually telling her just before, we're sharing energy now for like the next 30 minutes, and she's going to be the last human outside of my husband that I know I'm going to speak to tonight. In fact, I'm making sure that is the truth, because I know you're about to fill me up, and you're about to fill up all the listeners as well. So thank you so much.
Oh, Nkechi, thank you so much for having me on your podcast, Pure Vibes. I just love the Thrive energy. I feel like right now that's what we need, is just vibes, whatever that looks like. And I know that there are some people who are feeling up, some people who are feeling down. And also there's some of us who go through all of those emotions in a day. Yeah. So it's wonderful that you give people this outlet should they need this energy. Hopefully they can access it. And I know you're filling up people with all kinds of goodness. So thank you for doing what you do.
Awesome. Let's do it tonight.
Okay. Yeah, let's go.
So what can you tell us about the brand Emily Mills?
Okay, why don't I just tell you about the person Emily
Mills. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so the person is a proud mom of two beautiful little black boys. They'll tell you, I'm in SK and I'm in grade one. So that's first and foremost the best hustle, the best assignment, the best responsibility I have is to be, it's a privilege to be a mom to these two little people. I'm also a wife. So just actually celebrated my 8-year wedding anniversary with my husband. And boy, it has been a journey. I'm sure there are lots of people out there who can relate with whatever relationship you're in. It is always a journey. So very, very grateful for him. And it's been, this year has been the most trying year for various reasons. And I shared some pretty personal stuff recently that he was quite sick and in hospital. So giving thanks for that. Mm-hmm. So wife and mom are my two titles. And then beyond that, CEO, CEO, you know, whatever. I run my own brand, How She Hustles. I'm very proud and humbled to say we are evolving into one of Canada's leading networks for diverse women. Indeed. We really are making some noise in the world, drinking that humble juice. But we essentially, for a decade now, we just celebrated our 10-year anniversary.
Wow,
we
have been,
thank you. We've been bringing women together, specifically women of color, women from diverse backgrounds, various identities, through social media, through our award-winning digital projects, and through events. We've been doing events in Toronto for 10 years. So those are the three things, if people know me, that I'm known for. Also proud daughter of two Caribbean immigrants, woman of faith, arts lover, all of that stuff. I don't know, human.
So I wasn't planning to ask you this just yet, but I have to, just because you went there. So 10 years ago, when you founded How She Hustles, What did you think you would have accomplished in 10 years?
I don't think I had any idea. No clue. I wasn't thinking that far. I think at that moment, all I was thinking was, it is 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm a young Black woman working in marketing and communications and media relations for this nonprofit. I'm tired of going to events where I don't see anybody who looks like me, sounds like me. I'm not corporate. I'm still young. I love social media. And I want to see more young people of color, especially women and women from who are like me and not like me, that I can relate to and talk to. And that was the impetus for How She Hustles. It was just like, I just want to hold space where I don't feel like I'm an alien. Mm-hmm. And that's what led me to put this post up on social media. And I just said, look, I'm up hustling at 4 o'clock. I remember specifically what I was working on. I was working on a special newspaper section that tells you how long ago it was. Special newspaper section, who does those anymore? And I was also working on a corporate video with a CEO of a bank, ironically. And I just wasn't getting any sleep. And I thought, there must be other people who are hustling like this at their passion projects that will keep them up at night. And so I said, all right, is anybody up? Does anybody want to meet up? Let's just see how we can connect. And that's the power of social media and the power of when you put something out there and you don't even really know what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. People will be attracted to that energy. Mm-hmm. So people started responding and said, yeah, I'm a hustler too. I'm up too. I'm working on these things. And that was what led to our first brunch. I said, okay, I'm working on stuff. You're working on stuff. Let's meet up. Let's exchange ideas, energy. Maybe I'm working on something I can help you with and vice versa. And so 50 women came to that first brunch in 2010. And I wasn't thinking beyond that. All I was thinking was, I just want to meet up and have brunch. And so 10 years, over 20 sold out events later, we've done two award-winning national digital projects. Got a digital following about 18,000 women who are really pumped up on social, and some incredible opportunities, from being able to bring women to meet Michelle Obama to a roundtable with the Prime Minister of Canada. I mean, it's just been a blessing after blessing. And I would say the biggest thing that, didn't see coming is that I'd eventually become my own full-time boss. And now I'm in a position where things are far from perfect. I make no mistake, I'm still in hustle, grind mode, but really proud that for a decade now, we have a whole legacy of specifically hiring, collaborating with, partnering with, bringing on board young, diverse women who are creatives and talented at what they do, so that diversity and inclusion piece isn't just what you see and hear. It's the very fabric of what we do. We're creating economic opportunities for people. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something I'm extremely proud of that I didn't see coming.
Right. So you named from 50 to 50,000 diverse women today in 2020, about that, right? And then Her Story in Black, the tribute to Mrs. Obama, the numerous awards, the sitting with the Canada's Prime Minister. So now that your vision has actually manifested all of that, in 10 years, how bold is that dream?
Woo! Boy, if I could hire you to be my business development manager and give me the answer, trust me, I'd be good. I don't know. I think what I've learned looking back is that our imagination can only take us so far. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are people out there who can say, in 5 years, I want to do this. In 10 years, I want to do that. But you know what, Inc? If I really said, this is what I want to do in 10 years, mm-hmm. I still think it would be absolutely too small.
Yeah.
And I feel like it would absolutely be inaccurate and it would be off course because I don't think I'm meant to know what 10 years is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I really think it's by design that I don't know. Because if I look back 10 years ago, if I knew where this thing was going to take me, to be real, I think that I would have made far more mistakes. I think I would have tripped myself up. I think I would have gotten my own way. I think the vision would have scared me. I think I would have been paralyzed by the need for perfection. There's so many things. I think it was no accident. And I don't want to go too deep here, but everybody's got their own faith. For me, I'm on a journey of faith. I'm a granddaughter of a pastor from the countryside of Jamaica. Both my in-laws, my stepmom and my stepdad are both, they're both faith leaders as well. And with that, I would say, I feel very sure that God was like, I am not even going to show you where you're going to go. You just need to follow the crumbs.
Yeah, you need to
because,
trust.
I'm going to show you how to be humble. Yeah. I'm going to show you that I can take you into rooms and places and do things that you your mind could not fathom.
Yeah.
And so therefore, I'm not giving you the whole vision. I'm just going to make sure that each and every step of the way, you have to demonstrate that you believe this is possible. And even when you don't know, you're still going to have to walk forward by faith.
Girl, Tink, you are my renewal from a tough day. So thank you. Because just
listen.
So it's a calling. And it's interesting because before I went to all of that, my next question was, I truly believe my calling. I'm God's gift. I am meant to be a gift in every experience, not a victim. And honestly, my energy on steroids is my other great I am. What is your great I am? It makes me emotional.
I think I know. I am on an assignment to convene people. It's not about me. It's about the ability to bring different people to the table. I think more and more, it's about building new tables. It's not about come to this table over here, come to that table over there. It's actually building a whole new table where it's like, you know, reaching out to different groups of people and saying, actually, it's not left or right. It's not corporate or community. It's not grassroots or executives. It's there's a new table.
Yeah.
And it's not my table. It just happens to be, I happen to be here, but there's so many people passing through my life and so many people I'm touching base with. I think I am on an assignment to connect, help to connect the dots. And that's my job. It happens to be through How She Hustles now, but in different parts of my life, in different eras of my life, different seasons of my life, I've seen it consistently show up. Mm-hmm. And so there are many things I have no idea what they're supposed to mean, what they're supposed to do, but I would say the consistent factor is connecting people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what I am supposed to do, is find ways for people to see each other's humanity and common ground and see what is impossible for us to do as individuals, it's possible to do as a collective.
Ooh. And I believe you're already creating that today, but I'm still going to ask, you know, every experience is about leaving our legacy, leaving our exclamation point in it for people to take away. So what is the big takeaway that you would like somebody that's listening to this today to leave with?
That you don't have to have all the answers to do. I think that's it. You know, when I transitioned out of my full-time job in 2018, man, it took me so long to make that decision. I remember I knew in my spirit that I was ready to do something different, to leap, even though I couldn't see the net. And I remember crying out to so many incredible women in the city. I'm so thankful to them. They know who they are. And I remember I kept saying, but what if, and I have a young family, but what if, and I'm not so sure, but what if? And at a certain point, I was just tired of indecision. It was just done. And it became an even deeper thing for me. It became not about the logistics and the finance and the business structure. What it came down to was, do you believe that you have a job to do and that I'm going to provide for you? And so when it came down to it, I will never forget the morning when we were up to like 5 a.m, myself and my husband, and we were just praying. And we had mapped it all out, all the logistical things we'd think about, you know, how much savings do we have? How long can we survive? Da, da, da. What happens if, you know, if we have to, would we do this? Would we do that to provide for our family? And in the end, it doesn't matter. You can come up with every logical plan, every roadmap, every blueprint, all the logical stuff at the end of it is going to come down to this. Do you believe that no matter what happens, that you will be provided for?
Oof.
And that is not something that I It's like, look at coronavirus, the scenarios, the medicine, all the science, all the logic, all the political plans, all the economic forecasts. None of that could have prepared us for this.
No.
And so at a certain point, I hope the legacy, if there is one, which is a huge word, but with humility, I say, if there's anything I hope people will get out of my journey so far, it's even when you have all the plans in the world, the most fundamental thing it comes down to is, do you believe that it will work out? Whether you've planned or not, do you actually believe in your heart that you are willing to take that leap into the unknown and that somehow or other you will land on your feet?
Yeah.
That's it.
I have a daily mantra that is, I trust that everything will work out for me. Mm-hmm. When you could put that in front of anything at any given time and just, and then allow, like Emily said, allow yourself to be led through it.
It's hard. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, I don't want to make it sound like I'm just like, oh yes, just believe. Listen, I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, sell it as though it was the hardest thing in the world. There are people who are dealing with far more serious choices than mine, but make no mistake, it was a big risk. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the daughter of Caribbean immigrants. Mm-hmm. First of all, to be a Black woman in Canada, to even get into media, mainstream media, it's hard. It's one of those industries that is hard to crack, right? It's a very powerful segment of society. Media has so much agency to change the way people feel about themselves and the way that other people see them. So to break into that industry was difficult, let alone to break into that industry and get onto one of the most powerful sides of the industry, which is marketing communications, right? It's not just I'm on screen and I'm telling a story that somebody else is shaping. It's now I'm trying to figure out, okay, who are we partnering with? Who are we getting behind? Where should our personalities be? What is our message to community? What are the opportunities we aren't seeing? When should we go out and do a live broadcast? Which community should we cover? Like, it was quite a powerful role to be in. Mm-hmm. And as a young Black woman, it came with a lot of responsibility. And after I had been there for 7.5 years, at that point, I had earned some stripes. Mm-hmm. Right? There were people who would come behind me who were younger, who hadn't been in the game as much. So I had a certain amount of privilege, mm-hmm. really. And I knew it.
Mm-hmm. What was the pivotal moment? Was there a pivotal moment that said that, wow, I actually broke through,
I would say definitely her story in Black was a game changer, mm-hmm. for sure. And it was a game changer on so many levels. But with that, I feel like if there's a Julie here, right, thinking a glass mm-hmm. ceiling, if you break through a glass ceiling, it almost felt like I broke through and then I was like, oh man, I just broke into a whole other level. And it's like, this just got a whole bunch harder, right? Because if you think, okay, you know, I'm at level one, and if I break through, I get to level two. I feel like I broke through and I was like, but I can see through to level 10. Mm-hmm. So it actually became even more, the stakes got higher. It didn't get easier. It actually became even more mind-blowing what was at stake. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, what I loved about her story in Black, which really was birthed hands down out of how she hustles and, you know, in conversations with women from my community on social media. And it was just about, I want to create a project that shows a different face of leadership in Canada. It came out in 2017 when Canada was getting ready to mark its 150th anniversary of Confederation. I know that was complicated for a lot of us because of the conversation around reconciliation, etc. But the point was to say, there are a whole bunch of young Black women in all sectors who are not seen, who are not heard, but at the same time, they are changing our country. So we need to celebrate them. Let's find 150 of them. And we did. Neuroscientists, architects, engineers, IT specialists, DJs, police officers, tattoo artists, dancers, educators, all of them. And that's not to say they were the only ones. They were simply an example to inspire people to look around, and also to inspire other Black women to look at themselves and say, you know what? Yes, my mere existence.
That's what happened for me, by counted. The way.
Yes, right? So it wasn't ever intended for people to feel like, oh my gosh, I wasn't counting. I'm like, no, no. This is so that other people in your office will say, oh, wait a minute. How come we haven't? Yo, we need to look at ink right here. We need, this is our her story woman right here. She's already making it right here. How have we not celebrated her? Why have we not promoted her? Why are we not listening to her leadership more and taking her direction? And so that one project of photographing these 150 women and then grouping them together in these beautiful Vanity Fair style photos, and then creating a 1-hour TV documentary, which you can still watch online on YouTube. And then creating this 400 person gala, and then having a week of TV, radio, and digital, and then building a website, and then say inspiring this massive cultural organization to say, all right, well, if her story in Black with all these women was great in Toronto, let's go find 150 women across the country. Let's go find a whole bunch of high school students that we could profile. What it was a project, I think that I'd like to think it opened the imagination. It opened the imagination, our own. Look what we can do. That project started when we had no corporate sponsor, no budget, no team. We didn't have a venue. But you know how her story in Black started? It started with intention. Yeah. It started with community. And it started with the possibility, again, going back to what we already talked about, saying, I'm going to put this out there and trust, trust that whatever we need shall come. And that's exactly what happened.
Was there ever, was there a time in that whole journey to getting there that you almost maybe
Woo! How much time we have on this podcast?
No, I think it's important because, you know, a lot of people, we've talked about a lot of your successes and this and the other. And a lot of times we don't talk about those moments that dim our lights and possibly, you know, hold us back from pushing forward.
Absolutely. So the people who really know what happened with her story in Black can tell you how many tears I shed, how many times I thought, I don't know, man. So her story in Black actually, and not many people know this, we actually had three different potential partners before it landed at CBC. We were actually looking at a major cultural institution in the city, a major venue. And we actually had a contract and everything. And all I had to do was sign on the dotted line. Everything was outlined, dates were set up, the whole plan. And like at the 11th hour, I remember the contract was in my inbox and I slept on it. And I was like, I am so sorry. We've gone back and forth for weeks on this conversation. But I remember waking up and saying, I don't want to sound ungrateful, but I actually think this partnership is too small for what this could be. And I'm sorry, but I just don't think this is the right space. And I just thought, nope, it needs to be bigger. It needs to be bigger. And it wasn't me. I really don't think it wasn't about me. It was about, nope, this has to stand the test of time. This has to go across the country. This has to be not just an event. This has to be not just radio. This has to be not just TV. This also has to be digital. This also has to be able to give people an opportunity to take this blueprint and impact it so that other communities, other projects can learn from this. Like it had to be the opportunity to say that, yes, you can bring community, grassroots community creators in with corporate executives and find a new way to work together. And I needed a home for that. And thankfully, CBC ended up being that home. I'll tell you too, her story in Black ended up going on to win a national award within the corporation. I mean, they have thousands of employees, thousands of projects and specials and news coverage and all kinds of projects. And I was so humbled that we got selected to win this award for brand relevance. And when we walked up on stage, and when I say we, I was so happy that there was a huge collective of young Black women inside CBC and outside CBC who got on that stage. Like it was like watching the end of the BET Awards. Like everybody and their mama got up. Everybody was rapping on there. But before that award ceremony, before I went up and did my acceptance speech, I was in the bathroom crying my heart out. because it took, and we know this, especially as people of color, and I know I'm speaking to people in this particular time, how much we navigate in order to get the job done.
Yeah, yeah.
How much we have to navigate, how much we have to sacrifice, how much we have to interpret, how much we have to dig deep, how much we have to be a dual interpreter, mm-hmm. how much we have to dial back, mm-hmm. figure out, like, there's so much precision mm-hmm. to just being who we are. And it mm-hmm. took, in that moment before I got up on that stage with everyone, mm-hmm. I just remember the emotional watershed opened up, because I realized how much mm-hmm. it had taken to get there. And while I was so proud, mm-hmm. I also was very, I realized that it really was an emotional, physical, intellectual investment. And I was happy to do it, because it wasn't just me and yeah. it wasn't just for me. Yeah. But in that moment, I think it really hit me like, I don't know how many yeah. more of these I could do.
I get it. But showing what is possible, there's a huge price tag that's associated. There's a huge price that we pay for these awards that we take on and these projects that we succeed in. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not just me. There's a lot of people who took a lot of sacrifice, who did way 1000% of their job, not because they were assigned to, but because they knew it was a moment in time. So giving thanks to that. So many people. And if you go on my Instagram, man, I have posts and posts and posts and posts of people that I thanked.
I honor you. And that was just one of them. Awesome. Yeah.
Thank you.
So to keep all of that going, I truly believe to stay in our thrive, there is some self-care regimes, non-negotiables, boundaries mm-hmm. that we need to have present in our lives to maintain that thrive and support us. What are yours?
I have some, and I will say I need more.
Okay.
You know, one of the greatest gifts of turning 10, if you call it that, is the gift of reflection. And I think as I look back at the 10 years, while there've been so many wonderful, shiny things, I also realize that if I'm gonna make it to the next 10, there are some things I need to change in my life now. I need to sleep more. I need to drink more water. I need to exercise more. And I'm sure you of all people are like, yes, girl, you need to come and talk to me. But definitely, and I know that I have to find different outlets for my stress. Mm-hmm. I am a sugar person. When I feel pressure, I know my products that I go to, and I can see the way it's playing out in my life. One of the reasons I cut my hair as well is because right before COVID-19, I could feel how drastically my hair changed.
Mm-hmm. From the stress.
From the stress. I could feel. I have a healthy head of hair. And if I blow dried it, sure, my hair was past my shoulders, it was all looked out, whatever. But I could feel it from the root that my hair was saying, I am tired. I am stressed. I could feel the coarseness. I could feel like it was just, you know. So what am I doing? That's all the stuff I'm not doing. What are the things I am doing? Well, I love music. Every single day I listen to music. This morning we got up and I was like, the vibe was feeling a little unsure. And I said, okay, my husband and I at the same time, boom, Sounds of Blackness, Optimistic.
Oh, isn't that a song? Oh my gosh,
that song. Was jam.
Oh, I think I'm going to listen to that.
Jam, right? So we listen to music a lot in our house. We have fam jams with our children, sometimes with flashlights, sometimes with balloons, sometimes with glow sticks. We dance a lot in our home. Prayer, for sure. We pray every single night as a family.
Oh, nice.
For sure. That's a big one. I used to, before COVID-19, I loved walking. Walking, walking, walking. I just found walking and water. Those are the two things, you know, very biblical, I'm sure. But walking and water, really, walking helped to clear my mind. Mm-hmm. Loved being in nature. And water, I just find that whenever I'm feeling stuck, yeah. or I'm feeling like I have a creative block, I find I take more showers. Some of my best ideas or moments of release come when I'm washing dishes or washing my hair. Like mm-hmm. I always have to go into water. I'm a Pisces too, so maybe that's it. So yeah, music, nature, water. And I would also say definitely silly moments with my kids. You know, I people who see me will think, oh, she's always branded and she's always packaged and she's always this. I don't think that's really true. If you really know me, that's so not me. I am, I'm an earthy, you know, I grew up as kind of like an earthy tomboy at heart, if that makes sense, you know? Mm-hmm. But with my kids, I got these two precious little boys who like to play basketball and soccer, but they're also real artists. And so one of my self-care things is just, you know what, let me get dirty with them. Let me play in the sandbox. The other day I had them face paint. Each of them could take a side of my face. And I look like a little Clockwork Orange moment after that, but it really helped to really release energy for me, because at that point, it's not about brand. It's not about anything, but just being in the moment and just letting creativity take over.
That's beautiful. I'm learning from some of those. I'm going to definitely, I like water. I'm yes. most creative when I'm taking my showers. So I agree with you there. Mm-hmm. So in 150 years, science has failed to save us. And all that's left is a book about your life, Emily. And I know you're big about community, but in this case, I would want to know, what would the title be? Because it's about your life. And what would the blurb tell us about Emily Mills?
The title would say, boy, that's a question. The title would say something like, all she ever wanted to do was unite us. Ooh. I think so. I think that's what it would be like. Here is the story of Emily Mills, a person who never aspired to lead, but who was raised by two incredible people who taught her that community is the root of everything. And who married into a family that reminded her that family is more important than anything else. And so from those two branches of a tree, she did her best to bring people together, whether that meant bringing voices to media, bringing women to podiums, bringing teams together to create things that didn't exist, or to tell stories that had never been heard. Here is the story of Emily Mills, wife, daughter, mom, member of a community who happened to be called the CEO of How She Hustles. Woo! Something like that. I don't know.
Jesus, that book is coming into existence. No way after that. God.
I don't know.
Finish the sentence. What the world needs now is
more people to make way for others.
Yeah.
I feel like it's such an honor that so many people want to speak with me right now and hear my voice, and it's an honor. Sure. I want to make sure that this 10 years gets documented, not for me, but for all the women who helped and men who helped us get here.
Yeah.
But the truth is, the success of How She Hustles and that the real legacy that is going to foreshadow the next 10 years is if at the end of all these interviews, there are now 10 more women on the come up or 10 more networks or organizations on the come up that people know about.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm excited to do next is say, okay, great. I'm happy, but how can I bring another 10 women along with me and say, okay, is there anything that I've learned so you don't have to stumble? Yeah. Let me tell you what I messed up so that you can move faster, that you can be more purposeful, that you can have more impact. That's what it's about.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get into my rapid thrivers. So the first one is, you know, who in this life inspires you, either motivates you, that is thriving, and who's the first person that comes to mind and why?
I would say we just finished doing as part of our virtual celebration we just had for our 10 years, we did a video remembering women that we had lost. There were a whole bunch of women in there, and I would say every single woman in that video, from Hoda Nalaye, who passed away, mm-hmm. to my cousin Abigail, who also passed away, all of those women inspired me. I would say it's more about the women whose lives have ended, mm-hmm. that those women really inspire me, because I think it sounds weird, but it's incredible to think that even when you're no longer here, that your life, your walk, your journey, your existence has the ability to still impact people.
Yeah.
And so that's it. You got to think about the people who passed.
Yeah. I believe that there's a special something in every single person that God says they need to pass in order for others to thrive and continue to grow. You know, there's a price everyone pays. Yeah. What is a book that helps you with your thrive?
I just finished reading Kike Lola's My Boss Is Me. I've had that book for years. She's transitioned as well. Yeah. And I tell you, as soon as she did, I picked up that book, and I feel like it was the precise time that I was meant to read it.
Mm-hmm. Her Boss Is Me by Kike
Lola. My Boss Is Me by Kike Lola Odunsanya. Forever remember you, sis.
What is an app on your phone that helps you with your thrive?
Shazam.
Shazam.
Shazam. I can be in the grocery store. I can be anywhere. And I'm like, what song is that? Shazam. And then I'm like, ooh, we're going to add that to the fam jam at home. So Shazam. Everybody should have Shazam in their life.
I think I know this one, but just for you to qualify the activity, what is a daily activity that helps you with your thrive?
Prayer as a family every day.
Okay,
every day.
That's what I thought.
Every day.
And what is one misconception that people have of you as you're in your thrive?
People think my life is perfect. That sounds really weird, but people are like, oh, you always have it all together. I'm like, no, not even close. Mm-hmm. Not even close. Mm-hmm. Not at all. But on the one hand, I work really hard. I push my team. I push myself. On the other hand, I don't think my goal is perfection. The mm-hmm. goal is not perfection. The goal is the best we can do. Mm-hmm. And the goal is what is meant. Mm-hmm. And if what is meant is imperfect, that's fine. There's lots mm-hmm. of things that are not perfect in my life. And I'm like, you know what? Leave the imperfection.
Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. But I think sometimes people think, oh, she's always got it all together and it's all perfect. And she's, you know, she's got her two kids and her husband mm-hmm. and her parents and her mm-hmm. brand and her this and her mm-hmm. awards. And I'm like, no, mm-hmm. There's so many things that are imperfect in my life, but I think I have just decided that I'm going to give thanks and celebrate it anyway. And so when it looks like it's shiny, it's not because it's perfect and it is shiny. It's just because I've chosen to have, I guess, a shiny attitude about it.
Yeah, about it, yeah.
Like, what I'm going to shine in this mess up right here just because that's what it is, and I'm going to own it. So there you go.
Full wattage. You're operating a full wattage. I love that. I learned recently to start to say, you just see me in practice.
Yes.
You just see me in practice. That's the difference. So get into practice and we both... So what are you working on now? Where can we find you?
What am I working on now? I am working on, well, our next project, Startup and Slay. So this is a digital series that we started last year. We had an event series of the same name in 2018, but last year, thanks to incredible support from CIBC, wow, it was amazing to get our first corporate sponsor. That was the role that they played in How She Hustles history. But we basically said, I'd like to find a group of women who are entrepreneurs in this country, who are from a range of backgrounds, specifically Indigenous women, women of color, persons with disabilities, people who identify from the 2S LGBTQ+ community, and those who have immigrant, refugee, newcomer stories. So entrepreneurs who kind of can speak to those different lived experiences mm-hmm. and show that being a founder, being an entrepreneur, being a small business owner in this country doesn't just look like one thing. It's not mm-hmm. just a young guy from college building an app. with a backpack. Like, there's other stories. So that project, we went right from across the country, from British Columbia to Nova Scotia with our own women-led team. We built videos, we wrote web articles, we got press, we flew them all to Toronto to speak. We are doing that again, minus the flying, of course. But we are looking for stories again. We really want to hear from diverse women entrepreneurs, and we are also definitely working on ways to be more gender inclusive. So we are absolutely, if non-binary professionals are welcome as well, we want to hear those stories about how entrepreneurs across the country, specifically women entrepreneurs and those who are of various gender backgrounds. Let's hear. Mm-hmm. How are you starting, sustaining, or scaling your business during these uncertain economic times? It is a tough time, but there are stories out there of hope. There are stories out there of people who are just hanging on. There are stories out there of people who are thriving. So we want to showcase those stories. Mm-hmm. Applications are open now. I don't know when this podcast is going to run, but we're looking for those stories and we want to hear them. So people have a chance to apply and tell their stories, to inspire others, to be a part of a community. Great marketing opportunity. There's also, of course, some experts from through our sponsors who are happy to chat with you. So howshehustles.com is our website. You can find out more about Startup and Slay. You can find out more about us. You can join our newsletter. You can find us on social media, especially Instagram and Twitter. But more importantly, you know, whether it's us or another community, I just hope that people find a space where they feel they belong.
I love that. And for the application, when is it closed? Because this will air in June.
This will be June 30th. So we just announced it, literally just announced it. We'll be pushing it out more and sharing more of the highlights, but there's all kinds of details on who we selected last year and their stories. And nobody should think they're too small. One of the things that really touched me is people were like, oh, I thought my business was too small and we weren't sophisticated enough, or we weren't ready for prime time. I'm like, no. Entrepreneurship doesn't look like one thing. Being a business owner doesn't look like one thing. Everybody has a story to share that will inspire someone. Wow. So decide whether you're ready to share yours.
I look forward to seeing that unfold. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
So at the beginning of the interview, I did ask you what you want to leave with our listeners today. And you said, you know, you don't have to have all of the answers. So definitely apply, because you don't need to know everything. and just, do you believe it will work out?
Yes.
And I can just tell you, I had goosebumps pretty much through my entire interview. As I said, you are my last human outside of my husband I'm speaking to today. And there's a reason for that. Mm. You've helped me believe more in myself, and it feels emotional. And high emotion through this interview. I love you for the space and this energy that we shared, and for what you're creating for the world at large, not just within Toronto anymore. And you know, Emily, you're doing some fabulous things, and I thank you for making us all possible to look at you and dream bigger.
Thank you. Thank you for doing this. And thank you for just deciding that you're going to do it. I think I see the inspiration in you, and I'm going to take that away, and that's going to be my energy. I'm like, this woman was like, I'm going to start a podcast in the middle of COVID-19, and I'm just going to start. And that's what you said. Usually you just decided you're just going to start, and you said you're getting better and better as you do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take that away, is that more of us need to believe that even if we think we're not ready, through the action, that's how excellence is going to come. And let me just say one quick thing before I go. Okay. You gave me a beautiful gift the last time I think I saw you.
The stone?
It was one of the worst nights. I don't know. My energy was just so off. And I remember seeing you, and I still have it. It's actually on my bedside table right beside my Bible. You gave me a little heart that said, love, a gift from above. And I remember I was just feeling so off that night, and you put it into the palm of my hand, and I kept it. And I just want to remind people that sometimes we think our gifts are small, but they actually have the biggest impact. So never think that our gifts are too small. That was months ago, and I still have it beside my bed. And on days when I'm feeling like that, I felt that night where I just feel off, I put that in the palm of my hand and I hold it. So thank you for that gift.
Thank you.
Thank you for that gift. I hope all your listeners know, whether they have a heart or a stone in their hand or a word of kindness, we all have something that can really make a huge impact on someone.
That's beautiful. No more words.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to hear this. Yes. Have a wonderful night.
Yes. And to everyone that's listening, this is where I say we're out.
Bye, mom, sister. Big love.
Love you, girl.
So there you have it. I hope you're thriving and thoroughly enjoyed this episode. And remember, whatever medium you are listening to this on, please subscribe, like, review, and share this podcast with somebody else that you think could benefit from the tips that were delivered. Because when we share, that is truly when we have the capacity and the power to change the world. It's been awesome hanging with you. It's your girl, and I'm out.